Candidate filing begins next week in North Carolina for next year's election. Dozens of candidates have already announced plans to run, with some of the largest numbers on the Republican side. Colin Campbell takes a look at why primaries for less prominent races like lieutenant governor are drawing so many contenders.
While only two Democrats are running for lieutenant governor so far, at least nine Republicans have announced campaigns for an office that often gets little attention.
I'm Hal Weatherman, Republican candidate for lieutenant governor.
My name is Alan Mashford, and I am a pastor, I am a father, and I am running for lieutenant governor.
I am Peter Boykin. I'm running for North Carolina's next lieutenant governor.
My name is Martinez Hernandez-Navarro, and I'm ready to work for you, North Carolina.
I'm Seth Woodall, conservative Republican for lieutenant governor.
And that's not even half the field of candidates. Political observers say there's no clear frontrunner, so voters will find it challenging to sort through the list on their ballots. Some are surprised to see so much interest in a role that has little power. North Carolina's lieutenant governor holds a few seats on state boards and presides over Senate sessions, but has no policymaking role in the legislature. Anna Bevan Gravely analyzes state elections for the NC Free Enterprise Foundation. She says that's part of the appeal.
There's less of a definition of what that role is, and so there's a little more opportunity for you as a sitting lieutenant governor to create a name for yourself and define what good looks like. And so I think the creativity and the opportunity with that role in particular is really enticing.
It could also draw candidates who have their eye on a higher office. Jim Blaine is a Republican political consultant with the firm The Differentiators.
The only thing I can figure is there's a big appetite amongst politicos to get in the wait and see if the governor dies seat, which is basically the main function of the lieutenant governor these days, I guess.
Blaine says there's not much difference between the candidates on big issues like abortion or taxes.
A lot of times, the way candidates differentiate themselves these days is not through their policy positions, which historically has been how candidates define themselves, but through their personalities, through gimmicks and, you know, attention-getting stunts.
The crowded field for lieutenant governor and several congressional seats will likely bring some eye-catching ads in the coming months.
Some people blow up things. Some people shoot things. I mean, there's a whole variety. There's a whole genre of attention-getting ads. I personally think humor is probably one of the better ways to do it.
Greg Gephardt ran for lieutenant governor in 2020, facing eight opponents in the Republican primary. He made stops at small local airports a hallmark of his campaign.
A dear friend of mine owns a private aircraft, and he donated the use of that aircraft to my campaign. And so, you know, with our aviation history, first in flight, North Carolina, I tried to make that a unique thing.
He says a crowded field of candidates can push GOP candidates further to the right on major issues.
It really is who can be the loudest and get the most attention, because, again, you're fighting for those eyeballs and you're fighting for that name ID. And so, you know, it probably leads folks to stake themselves further out than they might otherwise stake themselves out.
Another way candidates can get an edge is by spending their own money on the race. One of the lieutenant governor candidates, Rockingham County Attorney Seth Woodall, says he'll spend $1 million in the primary. Gravely says that strategy can make a difference.
If you start that way, just to like put a little juice behind your campaign, and then you gain other individual donors, that's going to be much more beneficial for you.
Another key factor could be endorsements, and so far no heavy hitters have weighed in on the lieutenant governor primary, Gephardt notes.
Let's just, you know, be honest. The two endorsements that I think mean the most right now in the Republican Party in North Carolina are, you know, former President Donald Trump and the current Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
Candidates for lieutenant governor and other statewide races are frequently visiting county-level party organizations, and their social media feeds are filled with photos posing with local party leaders. Gravely says that personal touch can make a difference.
North Carolina is getting more and more specific about how they're connecting with candidates. And so being able to meet them, I think, does carry weight. Being able to hear them in person carries weight.
Some campaigns have pledged to visit all 100 counties, but Gephardt wonders if he spent too much time at small GOP gatherings during his 2020 race.
If you went and talked to all 300 of those clubs, right, like what percentage of the GOP primary voter do they actually make up? And, you know, I would submit to you, it's a small percentage when you compare it to the overall turnout of folks who are going to pull a Republican ballot.
While the Republican primary for lieutenant governor has the most candidates so far, it's not the only crowded primary next year. In the 13th congressional district around the Triangle, at least 8 Republicans are vying for a chance to replace Democratic Congressman Wiley Nickel. Nickel's previously competitive district has been redrawn to lean Republican. And 6 Republicans so far are running for state auditor after Democrat Beth Wood announced plans to step down. Meanwhile, on the Democratic side, the most crowded primary is for attorney general, where 4 candidates are running. Other Democratic primaries have no more than 2 candidates so far. Blaine says the number of candidates for statewide and congressional races so far isn't that unusual.
It always feels like there are a lot of candidates running. But if you go back and look, you know, at the 2022 congressional cycle and at the 2020 statewide council of state cycle, I think we're pretty much in line, maybe a little bit down.
And there's still plenty of time for other candidates to jump in. The filing period ends on December 15th. Colin Campbell, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.